shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
We turn in our thinking tonight to the importance of the gravity of this hour. From many angles, we have brought to you report concerning what transpires on the world horizon and its relationship to our destiny, to the element of divine purpose. We gave you at the beginning of the year a preview of world events fixed upon the prophetic values of both the Scripture and honestly an analyzation with it of the trends based on the logistics and the supply patterns of the nations, our enemies, as well as our friends. We're also well aware that there is a measurement across the sky which the Father has given us to measure, and the wise shall understand, but he has given us at all times those that can measure and know what to look for in the measure. There are certain things which are developing in measure, as we told you, that make this one of the most turbulent years in history, one of the great crucial years which climax with struggle. Today, the great turbulent spot is in the great land of Judah. Now, to those who biblically understand that the white race is the kingdom of God, the family of God, and his household in the earth, you well know that the people that constitute the white race are Adamites, and the word Adam means white man. It wasn't necessarily a personal name for Adam, but they called this begotten offspring of God Adam, and that goes for his race. That the ancient documents and the ancient knowledge, even that knowledge which was yours before you lost it in your earth embodiment here, the Enosh, or the races which were created and placed in their various planetary origins, and the peoples of earth who dwelt upon the continents now beneath the Atlantic and Pacific, and whose migrating peoples moved into the areas of Asia and into the areas west of the Pacific, and to the east of the Atlantic. These peoples were part of an ancient world brought to catastrophe by the rebellious Lucifer and his household. But your origin is a different origin. Your race is a different race. And if you are going to understand who you are and what your destiny is and what the Bible contains, you must know tonight that the Adamic race are the children of God. They are the spiritually begotten celestial seed, whose spiritual beings with complete light energy entity dwelt in the celestial planes and looked upon and brooded over the existing universe with the Father. Your embodiment in the Adamic race, the place in the white race of the earth, is not only the story of a biblical history, it's the story of your origin. This is the reason why Jesus could refer to you as the people that came down out of the heavens, belonging to the Spirit, the heavens as the Father, and belonging to himself in the earth. It is for this reason Christ did not come to gather together Africa or Asia. He came together to gather your race, to repeat for it its responsibility by his Spirit, to bring them to remembrance of the things they had been instructed and beheld, and to finish the course which he set your race to do, which is build his kingdom and have dominion over it as he gave it to Adam in the very first declaration of the Scripture. The history of your race has been the history of the household of Adam and through Seth. No other seed was accepted because this was a pure, uncontaminated seed. The seduction of Eve, the violations of divine law upon the part of Adam had produced an unassimilatable people in the earth called Canaanites. But there were already unassimilatable people in Africa and Asia, among all the others, where the fallen angelic host lines and Lucifer had planted an unassimilatable seed, and that seed tonight is responsible for all the trouble and war and depression and catastrophe in the earth. And Jesus identified them as the sons of Satan, and I identify them easily tonight as Jews. Someone said you shouldn't talk that way, Dr. Swift. You spoil the effect of what you're going to say. Can't spoil the effect of what the Bible says, because this is what Jesus said. When they said, we have one Father, even God, he said, no, you haven't. That's an old story. You've been trying to use that before. If God were your Father, you'd receive me, for I am of God, and you're of your Father, and that's the devil. You can't predicate any story about what's going on in the world tonight. You divide it on that issue. Now, you say you shouldn't have any hate. We don't hate anybody. But we're against Lucifer in his present condition, and we're against all the abortive, unassimilatable peoples that he set in the earth that upset and caused trouble and stress and tyranny throughout the earth. And I am as aware tonight that the problems inside these United States come from these unassimilatable strangers. I want to predicate these few remarks again upon a passage which I read to you in the book of Deuteronomy concerning your race and concerning its destiny, concerning its responsibility, its welfare. The Most High God told us that there was one thing we were not to do, that we were never to set a ruler over us that God did not choose, and any king or ruler that ruled over us or person that was put in authority over us was to be from among our own brethren, and no stranger of our race, of our God and our faith and our philosophy was ever to be put above us. And therefore see that no stranger is ever over thee, and none is ever placed over thee except thy brother. So what's that mean? That means an affirmation of racial self-respect. It means an affirmation of the continuity of God's plan for this divinely born race, as well as a covenant in the restoration of what he promised and restored to us in the days of restoration. Now, we have watched the fallacy of violations of divine law that took place in our race, but that was known before the foundation of the world, and that's why your names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, and God your Father promised to come into the world and pay the price for your errors before the foundation of the world so that you could be free and finish the thing he told you to do. Now you say, what is it he's told us to do? He's told us to rule over the earth, to put it in order, and make them serve our Father which art in heaven. Someone said, that's a big order. That's a racial order. That's an order not accepted by lots of Christians. My friends, that's an order that's going to be obeyed by every Christian before this thing is over. Someone said, we don't want problems, we don't want wars, we don't want trouble. You do not want evil to rule the world, and you can never defeat it until you war against it. You'll never make peace with the devil and have anything but oppression and high taxes. Now we have the descendancy of this race, the house of Noah, the house of Shem. And we predicate these remarks just to fill in the corners of your thinking, for the house of Noah and the sons of Noah were all white men, just like you are, and nobody but white men descended from Noah, and Noah doesn't have any other descendants but white men. And if that is not true, then you don't understand biological law, scientific law, or God's law. You might as well learn that before you go any farther. Kind begets like kind, seed having life in itself. So is that where all these people come from? Because the flood happened in one place, and the word in the Hebrew was zarat, meaning that place, and it was a judgment on people in that place, and didn't affect the rest of the world. If you don't believe that, go and get your Strong's Concordance, go out and get a Lexington, discover what the word E-R-A-T-Z in Hebrew means, and you'll discover it was all in that place. And that's one thing that's been ghosted into a strange fairy story, and a lot of people have been trying to believe that everybody on the face of the earth, black, yellow, brown, everything else came out of the same seed, the same household. But God is not a father to the strangers. He's their creator. He's the God they're going to have to serve, but he is not their father. You are his children, his offspring, the people he is delighted to bless. And in the measurements of destiny, the sky has measured the course, and the heavens have declared your rising. You know, the best thing that can happen to this world or any other part of the Milky Way is when the sons of God bring in the administration of righteousness and learn righteousness and serve the right God, and anything else will be a catastrophe of unprecedented size. Now we're faced with some facts. Your race migrated, and it went through many experiences and was divided in various historic groups. The great Sethites that lived upon the ancient site, which now is Palestine, and left the ancient city of Jerusalem, not Jerusalem, but Jerusalem, built the great temples in Egypt, set up the city of On, established the university city under Enoch and Job, the house of Shem that came out of the upper Tamir basin after the flood, joined itself again with its other Sethite kinsmen, was reunited after the calling of Abraham out of Ur the Chaldees, and Abraham, as you remember, was the son of Terah, who was the prime minister unto Nimrod. And Nimrod was a descendant of Ham, and he was as white as you are. Don't come along with any black Ham stories. They want to curse Ham for his era. You bring upon him the sociological identification of what he did. But it wasn't, my friends, anything turned him black. We have a lot of people that have turned their offspring back by violations of divine law, but this wasn't what Ham did. But his descendants eventually were absorbed by Africa and by others in one contamination of the bloodstream and a continuation of that contamination, and God counts them out as far as offspring is concerned because there's no contaminated leadership in the kingdom of God. Someone said, I don't like racism. Well, then, my friends, you can go down and join the rest of the churches and you can listen to them tell you the story that's not true, and you can dwell in a lie, and you'll then never understand what's wrong. Because until you recognize the kingdom of God, the household which he planted, the seed which is his life, and the holy seed which he put in the earth, until you understand and know this, you can't understand what's going on in the world anyhow. Why do you think all the nations which are colored throughout the world under the influences of world communism, which is the specially prepared political philosophy of the enemies of Christianity and the haters of Jesus, why do you suppose they want, with all the instruments of their world government, their organizations for replacement of peoples and redivision of the land and redistribution of the products? Why do they want to mix your bloodstream? Why do they want to roll you together until you're an unassimilatable mass, take away your national boundaries, destroy the entity of your nation, roll you into one world, take away your faith, and make you envelop yourself with the philosophies of error? Because they know that's the way to count you out. Now, if you didn't know anything about the Bible, you should have sense enough to know that the most important thing you can do is have racial self-respect and preserve your society. And God called the white man Abraham out of the land of the Ur of the Chaldees. God was not only an intelligent selector of people, he selected someone whose spiritual background and whose racial purity was without contest, absolutely pure. And he said, I don't want you melanized, I don't want you mixed up, so I'm calling you out of the land of Ur of the Chaldees, and you get out and go the way I tell you in the land I show you, and let's have no mixtures, no mongrelization here. And you know, Abraham believed God, and he got out, he just took those of his family, and he made no attempt whatsoever to bring other peoples with him, even though he was the son of a prime minister in a cosmopolitan, fast-mixing Asiatic conglomeration. You know why it pleased God? Abraham said the kingdom and the administration, the dominion, the revelation is only going to come through my obedience and the carrying forward of this racial purity that God calls for. We're not going to mix the blood. God's promised me a son. And when this son is born, we're going to get a bride from among his own people. And Isaac had a bride from among his own people. And Abraham sent his servant out to see that he took a bride from among his own people. And I might pause here to refute one of the symbols of types and shadows that are used today by a lot of blind preachers. They try to say that the Holy Spirit gathers out a bride for the kingdom of God from among all the peoples of the world. That's not true, because when they use Abraham and his servant Abimelech as the symbol, let me tell you that Abraham sent Abimelech, the servant, out to gather up a bride from among his own people and out of his own house. And he told Abimelech, don't you go out and get somebody out of another race. You get one out of our own people. Let me tell you, God Almighty is identified with this race and this household, and he's not taking a bride out of anybody else. And when I say that, I'm symbolically referring to the mother of his sons or the race which is the body of his household. Not of Isaac and Jacob, again, each marrying in their own race, came forth the 12 sons of Jacob, to whom God, with inspiration and guidance upon the patriarch head, gives the great measure of destiny and of prophecies of great nations and companies of nations, for out of this genealogy has moved all the people that make up all the great white western nations of the world, all the people we call Aryan, all the people that out of the white Vedas they called Manu in ancient India. And the word man that you use comes from Manu, means tall white ones. See, aren't these other men? They are beings. They may be classified as Homo sapiens because they have the physical structure the same as you do. But when Almighty God uses the word human, he means spirit man. And the word human race means children of the spirit and physical bodies. And there's a difference between the children of the flesh and the children of the spirit. There's a difference between the children of creation and the children of being begotten. And that's why the two Hebrew words Bera and Eskar are different. One of them in the Hebrew means to make and to place, and the other means to be gathered as all issue or offspring. And you, my friends, are the issue and offspring of God, life of his life, breath of his breath. You are children of a holy seed with an incorruptible beginning. Out of these 12 sons of Jacob emerged, as the covenants of God said they would, great nations in the earth. And out of the two divided kingdoms later, which we will not take the history and time to go into tonight, of the 12 tribes of Israel, there was a division of the 10 tribes and the division of the two tribes of Judah and Benjamin from the 10 tribes into two kingdoms. Even though one was known as the kingdom of Judah, they were a kingdom of Israel, and they were two tribes of Israel. Don't forget that. And when you talk about Israel today, just don't talk about 10 tribes. Talk about all 12 tribes of Israel. Actually, 13 if you count the house of Joseph. And I think it's most important for us to understand some of the prophecies that are involved in this. The people of Judah and Benjamin, as you know, had returned and had rebuilt the city of Jerusalem, their city, in the days of Nehemiah. And they had a mixed multitude that gave them trouble. And a group of these Herodians and Cathars and Hittites and Kikes that had moved in to take control of their temple that Jesus denounced because he knew that these Yiddles had nothing to do with his kingdom. The other 10 tribe branch of Israel captured in the days of Sennacherib, released under Shalmaneser, migrating in their time out of the Caucasian Pass, which had settled in Greece and in Troy and in Western Europe, to find there already Dan settled in the Isles and in Ireland and in Denmark, and whose mark was over all the map of Europe. The children of Scandinavia, the children of Anglo-Saxonum, sons of Isaac, children of laughter, and their ancient white Sethite forefriends and forebears had already migrated to this ancient land and out of their tradition and set up the great Druid worship of the eternal God of Spirit, whose children they were. Waited for Yesu, the incarnate deity, to come. This is a part of the history of your race. Judah and Benjamin that were in Jerusalem when Jesus was there, even though Jesus visited the land of Britain on the ships of Joseph of Arimathea, even though here was a white culture that belonged to his household, and they respected and they knew him, and he built the first church of Christendom on the Isles of Britain. The history, the identity, the panorama of these events was known to Paul. It was known to the apostles. It was there that the early apostles went after the resurrection of Christ and took the person of Mary, Joseph of Arimathea. But down in Jerusalem, there were some people still under oppression, Judah and Benjamin at large. One movement of Judah that had gone out with Israel had already moved through what we call the Pass, and it settled the Visigoths, the Germanic peoples in Europe. The coming of the Benjaminites, or the Normans, and the Visigoths, which were Judah, was when the Empire of Rome gave permission to true Galileans to emigrate out of the land of Palestine, because the land was now under the hands of the enemies of Rome and the enemies of the Christian church. And by this time, Rome gave permission to the men of Benjamin and the men of true Judah to leave, and that was the Normans and the Visigoths coming to join already the Goths and to settle in yet Western and Central Europe. If you're a student of the Bible, you well know that the house of Judah of the Scriptures is Germany and Israel, its companions. And the house of Joseph is Anglo-Saxonum, and all the house of Israel, its companions. And before you get a self-righteous frown on your face concerning what I say, just remember this. Remember that King George, Kaiser Wilhelm, and Tsar Nicholas were all cousins, and this was the house of David ruling over Israel. And about the time you want to keep one set of white men as the children of God and throw the other out to the dogs, you better realize that all the white men in the world are only 1/6 of the world's population, and you better stand off and square before the enemy and realize that you better come together. Germany is the house of Judah. Scriptures tell us in this day when Russia, which is identified as Magog in the scriptures, and no theological student disagrees with it, that when they move out of the areas of Asia, having been brought into power by the beast system, and as world communism now spreading over the dark races of the world, makes its move, the one nation which is in the nutcracker and is the first one to stand against the impact of our Western world, of the communist impact, is Germany. And you've been fed every type of Jewish propaganda lie in the world to try to get you to hate Germany, and everywhere in the world they're telling one lie after another about you. And if you go all over the world and hear what the Jews are saying about America today, you'd understand why you have trouble in Latin America, why they're saying hate against you all over the world. Now one of these days we're going to learn that Jesus told the truth when he said they were liars because their father was a liar, and they never told the truth any time, anywhere, at any circumstance. Someone said to me, Dr. Fisk, you better not be pro-German. This may not be settled yet. I am pro-white man, and I am not against the strong and powerful forces of our kingdom.
Now it tells me over here in the book of Zechariah, when the trouble starts, when the horns start to roll, when the planes fly, when the attack comes, and we have been told how it will come, ascending over the north, coming from the east and the west. We're told in the scriptures that when that hour comes, and when these things mature, that Judah is going to get the first shock of this impact, that's Germany. And you can take a look at the map and you can understand why. Even now, the capital Berlin is over the line inside of territory held by the Russians of East Germany, which no longer, while in Russian territory, does not belong to Germany any more than the rest of the map of Europe, where white Christians well belong to Europe.
Rather belong to Russia. We have stood for a principle that East and West Germany should be united. Remember that though you are under the symbol of Manasseh in this great nation as a part of God's household and a part of the house of Joseph, that 25% of all the white blood flowing through the veins of America is Germanic. That here have all the tribes of Israel, all the white nations of the world, been fused together in one people. And when you talk to the peoples of this country, they can be English, they can be Scandinavian, they can be German, and there could be an Anglo-Saxon father, a German mother, a German father, an Anglo-Saxon mother. There is nothing confused here. This is all Israel being brought together in one place, and that is excluding every Jew, for no Jews in Israel either should be married or identified with any Christian at any time. Now, the scriptures say, in this hour of trouble, that God was going to do one thing. He was going to unite the real brethren. He was going to take the stick, which is in the hand, or the scepter, and the military power, which is in the hand of Germany and Israel, its companions, that's those of the house of Judah. And he was going to take the stick of Joseph, the power of Anglo-Saxonism, in the hands of the United States and Great Britain, and all the Western Christian nations, which are our allies. And they're going to be as one stick. Both of these two great powers of Christendom are going to stand together as one great military power. And that's one of the climaxes of the age. I think it's a matter of interest for you to know that all over these United States, the Communist Party and its fronts and dupes are preparing more crisis and more problem for you. They finance small minds like the criminal Mohammed X, a felon out of prison, a shriveled up nigger that's backed by all the power of trouble and communism. And he gathers hordes of Negroes until one third of the Negroes in the United States tonight follow this Mohammedan-minded nigger who has not a servant or student of Allah, but is a part of the Shambazi religion of the witch doctors of the Negro race. And with 600 and some odd thousand of them in Los Angeles, and half of them with their families are already 100% over in the Mohammed X communist-directed movement. I was told the other day that it wasn't 1,000 that battled inside of Griffith Park, that when they got through the evaluation, the camera count of the pictures taken by law enforcement show about 2,900 separate Negroes involved in that. Talk about a race riot? Well, you don't talk about Alabama. Don't say anything about what's going on in Louisiana. Just take a look at Griffith Park. Well, you say, well, that's not important. It'll be important if they raise up 50,000 or 70,000 out of this army of theirs and start under a reign of violence to overthrow the white man. Suppose I show you where this measure has its significance. You say this is a great day, 4th of July. In 1776, our Mercury was on the zenith of destiny, and Mercury is America's planet of birth. 4th of July, 1776. That's right, but if you see where Mercury is on the 4th of July this year, you know you're in a Mars cycle of problems. You know the Communist Party have a slogan, and they're spreading it all over America, and the Negroes are talking about it, and I hear it in the East, and I've heard it in the West, and I've gotten tip-offs out of agents, in law enforcement agencies and everywhere else. It's liberation on the 4th of July, liberty on the 4th of July. That, my friends, instead of being your word of praise for your birth, is the sign of the revolution. And they intend racial crises, disturbances, not just freedom riders and freedom marchers, and with violence and trouble on the 4th of July this year. That's a good time to stay out of public parks, to stay away from the areas where these masses are gathered together. It's a good time to keep your ammunition dry and be sure you can defend your own front door. just 2 weeks ago on television, Sustine the Jew and his television radio broadcast for that Sunday evening. At that end program that he has on Channel 11, starts about 11, ends about 1:30. And he was interviewing a group of prominent Jews, NAACP men, Eddie and Jackie Robinson, a bunch of other Negroes. And in that broadcast, these Negroes said, "We're going to break the yoke of the white man. We're not going to take it. We're going to rule America. And when we start fighting and shooting, we're going to eliminate all white opposition." They said shooting. They brought it on television first. They're going to shoot. Someone said, "We don't hate these people." No, we don't hate these people. We don't hate lions, tigers, bears. Don't hate any of those things. I'm going to tell you something. When they come, and they come with malice in their heart, we don't hate them, but we're going to survive. The season may open on the 4th of July. Now, I see some countenances a little dark tonight. Let me tell you something. We want to see America free. We want to see it live. We want to see it free as a land of blessing and peace. But we're not about to surrender it to a Communist Party revolution. We know who's behind it. The ADL identified one of their own people before they got through for stirring up these Negroes and was taking credit for it in East Los Angeles. And I happen to have the Negro newspaper in East Los Angeles in which they were backing the candidate who won for mayor and admit that they stirred the whole thing up down there in the park so the Negroes would get mad and move over to his corner, and he in turn made his deal with him, and he wants to put niggers in the council and niggers in the positions of commissioners. And I don't care how much they're mixed and how much a past nigger they might be, there is no Negro in the city of Los Angeles intelligent enough to be a supervisor, to be a city councilman, or at any time to rule over you. I want you to know the Most High God has declared, "Thou shalt not put these strangers over you." I say, these aren't strangers. They live down here, and we know where they live. They better be strangers, because if they're living next to you, it's too close. Now, it wasn't hatred to the stranger. It says when the stranger comes in your land, you're to be kind to the stranger. You're not to cheat the stranger. You're not to defraud the stranger. But you're not to let the stranger marry your daughter or marry your son. You're not to let the stranger become a political influence in your nation. He's not to rule over you. He's not to teach you. He's not to preach to you. He's not to become your administrator. He's not to control your economy. Say, so where is this black stranger supposed to rule? Down in Africa? This black stranger is not ready in this millennium or the next to rule anywhere on the face of the earth according to God's word. That the administration over this particular species is to be regulated and controlled by the great white nations of Christendom, and all the progress they will be under white leadership. And if you were today to travel through Africa, you would well understand that all the progress that was made there, whether in Angola or in the Congo, or whether it was in Nigeria, or whether that progress had been made in Kenya colony, Tanganyika, all the progress in Africa was made by the white man with his leadership, with his benevolence, with his missionary activity, with his development, with vision of resources, with his giving people a way to live without being savages. Tonight we are aware that we're in one of the most turbulent hours of our history. I just want to call to your attention that the United States News this last week, they admit in an article there about the Freedom Riders that Robert W. Kennedy, the president's brother, called the bus lines, told them to take the Freedom Riders into the South and demanded they get Negro drivers. The bus lines didn't want to get Negro drivers. That had raised their insurance. And they knew then that if anything happened, they couldn't say this was an accident. They'd be charged with inciting it, and they wouldn't get a payoff on their equipment. They knew that in these buses and the cars that followed them were trained agitators, thugs, never mind a few of these simple-looking praying students that have been brainwashed out of some Methodist church fed socialism in college and are out in the front, and the communists are behind the lines, and they say we won't resist and we won't strike, and a group of silly Negroes they've got along with them, and they say, no, we're not here to strike, we're to fall on our knees and pray, and this is to affect every other silly Christian that'll believe the propaganda.
Yes.
They can all pray, but who do you think they're praying to? You know what the scripture says? There's a lot that are going to say, Lord, Lord, Lord. He says, I don't know who you are, and I never saw you before, never heard you. They never thought of praying, Lord, 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 before, until it became a facet of the revolution to trick you. How many communists did you ever see in church? And every time I saw one in church that said he used to be a communist, I've questioned him. I just don't trust communists, new or used. One of the problems we're faced with at this time is the Attorney General had promised to back up with force, with marshals. He said, we'll push you in there, and then when the trouble comes, I'm going to have an excuse to use federal force. And if you want to know who was inciting riots, the Attorney General of the United States was in part inciting riots and should be impeached.
That's right.
If JFK is smarter than the proverbial goose, he's going to dismiss his brother. He'll find some way to promote him to some spot which doesn't make any difference. Then if he's got that stubbornness that keeps him there, it'll destroy him. Of course, he did one thing. Invasion of Alabama elected a Republican senator in Texas.
Yeah!
In a Democratic district, and a good Democrat, too, and a fine man he ran against, and still he won. Because there's a repudiation in Texas. They've had all they want. They're not proud of Mr. Johnson or Mr. Rayburn anymore, as long as he's running along behind this Irish Revolution. Because, as one Texan said to me the other day, Dr. Swift, this isn't an Irish Revolution, this is a kosher one. He said, put in 123 men and 69 of them are Jews. That's never heard of. Even Roosevelt never hit a batting average like that. It was bad enough with the Frankfurters and the Richburgs and the Mother Perkins, the Alger Hisses and the Hattie Dexter Weiss, alias Whites, and all of that brain trust that helped to build this foundational revolution. But when you put 69 of them on the first team, that's too much. Now, my book tells me something about this hour. We tried to get over to you this afternoon that a great deliverance under God was in the making, that this scripture calls for wavelengths of divine energy that stimulate the intelligence and the intellect of your race and start to bring your people out of their sleep, and they're going to start to see the thing clearly. This move has been on over some months now. It's been picking up momentum. It's starting now to move with a great crescendo of a latter rain of spiritual power. And your nation's great revival is not going to have them weeping for their transgressions. It's going to have them pledging that they're going to clean the house for God. God said, I'll yet be inquired to do some of these things for you. But he says, I'm going to empower you. I'm going to tell you that the great wave of spiritual power to descend on the children of God in this manifestation of the children of God in this hour is going to be one of the most invincible powers of determination ever moved upon your race. And if you think the spirit of 1776 made a great nation, the torch relit this hour is going to be like the mighty flaming judgments of Elijah. If you think the enemies of our nation that have moved in here, fleeing refugees, have ever fled from judgment when they leave America, they'll think that everything else in the world's been a party. Because it tells me in my Bible that when the wrath rises up in the children of God, this will be as great a sign of wrath and judgment as has ever come out of human eyes upon the earth. Listen. You stand and measure on the perimeter of what can be Armageddon. Russia has given the sign. Asiatic troops are going to move down the peninsula. They're going to try to outflank Australia and New Zealand. Russia has been offering deals to Japan that if Japan will capitulate,
without having the operations require the taking of Korea, the closing of the ring, that they'll give economic adjustments that'll give an outlet for Japanese goods and give her raw materials, and we'll even consider a land concession. Now, I don't think the Japanese trust the Russians at any time because they historically have been enemies. But if they're outflanked and they're outmaneuvered and they know their chances of victory and survival are very small, you can watch that go as another one of the losses of not listening to great leaders like General Douglas MacArthur when you had a chance of easy victory. I want to mention that one of the most nefarious pieces of evil in our time now emerges out of these enemies sniping at the ideas of a great leader who now bring a phony book out and claim it to be a great revelation of the Pentagon, citing that General Douglas MacArthur and Mr. Truman must now share for the logistic errors of North Korea and for the rise of the power of now Asia's new juggernaut of communist evil. Let me tell you something. General Douglas MacArthur doesn't have to share any responsibility or any guilt for the naivety of Mr. Truman or anybody else that was a part of the United Nations. Because I know that General Douglas MacArthur pled with the authority to bomb that mass of Red Chinese across the Yellow River line, and the United Nations promised them immunity and wouldn't let him. I know had they left General Douglas MacArthur use his naval air power, there wouldn't have been any Red Chinese army across the Yalu, and when we got through, there wouldn't have been any Beiping, and there would tonight have been Kai-shek back on the mainland. Now, if you want to write a book about the logistical errors of Mr. Truman, you could write a library. He wouldn't understand a page of it. Probably want to make sure they had his picture on every page. The battle of Harry Truman's administration was fought around Margaret. The Jews finally found a place to lick little Harry, and that wasn't too hard. They said, "We'll ruin Margaret's career if you don't go along with us. Recognize this, we ally, play our game. We are not going to give her a chance to sing or play again." She couldn't anyhow, but then he sold America for that little mess of pottage. He wasn't a Jew, even if his name was Solomon, because Solomon wasn't a Jew either. You know, like a lot of white men that never wake up, when he went in business with one, they cleaned him out, and the only one that tried to pay it off was Harry Truman, you know. When they wanted to use his influence, they made him the head of the Masonic Lodge down in Jerusalem. And that lodge don't really belong to any real part of the Masonic order anyhow, because you couldn't have a Masonic order of Jews and fulfill the destiny of that order. You've got a lot of schmooze out here in the shrine, but they shouldn't be there. When the Blue Lodge lets them in, somebody needs to be taken out behind the woodshed. That's for sure. And one of these days, we're going to wake up that these are not our masters. And all of their phony money that we've been doing business with, we can tear up and print some new of our own. And we can back it with our production, which is the real wealth of the world, and we can send them all running for Israel in time to catch God's earthquake that's going to hit down there when he splits them out of olives. Now, I'm going to say something some people won't think's kind, but I'm not always kind. You know the last place that the General Assemblies of the Pentecostal movements of the world should have had a conference was down in Israel? You know that? Imagine going down to the house of the devil to hold a conference of a great Christian movement from the United States and the world. Oh, the Jews paid the bill, that's right, and treated them real nice. But I got a Jewish newspaper said this is one of the greatest propaganda stunts we've ever done for every one of these ministers are going back and work for Israel, and they're going to praise Israel, and they're going to blow our horn, and they're going to offset what's happening. You know what's happening? America's waking up, and they're pointing out the enemies of Jesus Christ, and who's to blame, and who's done it. That's right. A great evangelist I know whose healing ministry was a mighty demonstration of the awakening miracle power of this age went down and visited Ben Gurion. Ben Gurion has wealth and power and influence through all the Jews of the world, and he declares that every Jew in the world is a citizen of Israel, whether he's absent or present. Had an argument about that all over the world, but I've got the original statements and also the local papers on it.
Mr. Ben Gaudian said, what are you here for, this great Paul evangelist? Forgot his Oklahoma traditions. He says, I'm just down here to do good. Are you going to preach a different religion than we Jews have? No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't want to affront you. You're going to let us be Jews and you'll be Christians, but you're not going to attack or move against us? No. If God wanted you to be Christians, he'd make you Christians. You'll be Jews, we'll be Christians, and we'll just help you. He says, that's the right word. Now, you're not going to mention Jesus Christ down here to the Jews. No, I won't. All right, you can. Then we're going to tell you what we're going to do. We hear you want to build a tabernacle up in Oklahoma, and we're going to see you get the money. You've got what you want, you've got your tabernacle.
That's right.
You know what they've named it? The Ben-Gurion Tabernacle.
That's what they should name it.
You say, you don't mean that's true? How do you know it's true? Because I took it out of this evangelist's own magazine about his own conversation with this son of Satan. You know, when the Church of Christ builds auditoriums and tabernacles, let's make them the tabernacles and the temples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and let's not insult our Father by hanging the names of the devils on it.
Amen.
Because it's the abomination of the desolator that's down there in the holy place. You know who's moving to Palestine? The abomination of the desolators. Oh, someone said this is Judah moving back. My friend, Judah's not down there. Judah's over in Germany getting ready to help fight the enemy with you. Someone said there's a lot of good ones. I have some good friends, they said, good ones. You have some acquaintances. I even had one try to be a friend to me. He was really counting on survival. He didn't buy anything at all. I was watching him all kinds. Listen. There isn't anything that I know that's a greater story to tell you tonight than this sign on your new moon in this month on the summer solstice. You're going to see spiritual stimulation and energy and outpouring out of the Spirit of the Most High, which is the symbol of the water man of the heavens that's been unequaled in your history for a long time. You watch this month and next month as one of the great patriotic upsurges in America, denunciation of everything that's wrong, socialistic, communistic, antichrist. You watch for every antichrist power of evil to try to wage war against everything that's Christian. And you'll understand why they're trying to take the name of Jesus Christ out of everything American. You know, there's 140 million of you. Did you know that in the United States? Now, that's ample to say we're going to do as our pleas, and we're going to put the name of Jesus Christ across everything in America, and those that can't wear it can leave it.
Amen.
I talked to a minister the other day who said, Dr. Swift, don't you think we ought to have a great prayer meeting and pray that all these people get saved? I said, how are you going to go about this? Just what do you think is going to happen? Where do you want to save them? How do you want to save them? Well, he says, let's get them saved. I said, well, what are you going to do to them when you get them saved? How are you going to get them saved? Well, he says, we might all pray and have a great prayer meeting, get all Christians everywhere to pray for them, and hold great big revivals, and have them all come down, stand in front, and say, we accept Jesus Christ.
Oh.
I said, all the Jews in America come down and wouldn't save any of them.
That's for sure.
You say, why is that? Because the only reason they come down there is in order to get by. I said, when you save somebody, you take them out of the error and you save them from their sins. You know, too many people are trying to save people from hell way out there in some distant tomorrow. Jesus said, I didn't come to save them from hell when they die. I came to save them from their sins. And the only way the world is saved from its sins is when it obeys God's law. And the world can't receive the Spirit of God because Jesus said so. And they'll never serve God's law until the sons and daughters of God teach them the law and enforce the law. And when Christ comes, do you think they're going to accept it? What do you think is going to happen when Jesus Christ returns to earth the next few months or a year or so? What do you think is going to happen? Do you think all the pagans and all the Africans and the Jews and everything are going to come and accept Christ? No, they're not. They're going to fight. Say, they're going to have a great big peace conference. Everybody's going to get together and surrender. No, said the blood's going to flow to the horse's bit. Not my horse, because I don't have any. South of Asia, they've got lots of horses.
out of our enemies. Christ said victory. Then I can let you into a little secret. That nation, the nations of God or the high mountains, the power of God's kingdom is going to be in the great nations of God's kingdom. And the Most High said, I'm going to rule, and the law is going to go out of my kingdom, which is Zion. Zion's the mountain of God, the kingdom of God in the earth. Its head is tonight in the United States and Great Britain and the great nations of the Western world. And he says, we are going to enforce the law with a rod of iron. You say, I don't like that rod of iron. You ever see a police car go down the street? That's a rod of iron. That sheriff's squad going out into the foothills is a rod of iron. That Navy out here on the sea, that Coast Guard's a rod of iron. Those Air Force planes leaving Marks Field and Edwards are a rod of iron. Oh, you say, well, I don't mind living under a rod of iron. It doesn't bother me. No, because you are a child of God. You give assent to the law. You don't have a natural tendency to violate law. You have been set free under a new covenant. You love the law of God. You're not saved by the law. You're saved by the desire of God's life and spirit in you, but you keep the law. The world's going to keep the law, and they're going to be eliminated from, saved from their evil by it. I want to tell you this tonight. Don't go out of here and waste any time praying for the world. Jesus never prayed one day for it. Got to pray on that time, too. All right. Jesus says, I pray not for the world. I pray for those thou hast given me. Thine they were in the heavens, mine they are in the earth. I don't pray for the world. Maybe some of you are going to do more than Jesus did. You're going to pray for the world. Well, you haven't done much good for it. Because you've tried to buy it. You've been out throwing away your wealth, trying to get them to say, we'll go along with you. And everybody you tried to buy has been trying to blackmail you for more. You can't buy the world. But you're going to have to do what God ordained you to do. Rise and rule. I don't know, I can seem to be impelled sermon after sermon to swing over here into the Psalms. It seems as though in this great panorama of events, when I read this psalm again and again, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The world orders rise under communism and our enemies. Kings of the north, out of the areas of the Russias and Siberia, they take counsel together. The rulers of the world order take counsel together against Yahweh and against his anointed. Let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords. And your bands and your cords is culture, civilization, law, obedience, morality, ethics. No cannibal. And then you've got some silly person taken over by some son of Satan who says, give them their freedom. They're equal with you. And you're foolish enough to give them their freedom. The first thing they do is they burn down the factories, tear up the schools, rape their benefactors, and start eating one another. He that sits in the heavens is still going to laugh. You know why you're called Saxons? You know what Saxon means? It means sons of laughter, sons of Isaac and sons of laughter. The reason why you're sons of laughter is because your father can look at this and laugh too. There's one thing you have as a race, you got a sense of humor. Thank God God's got one too, because he looks and laughs. And he can afford to laugh because he's got all the power to put this thing in order and see that it's going to work, and he's put power in your hands to help see it's going to work, and I'm going to laugh right along with him. I can't think of anything that looks funnier than to see that Khrushchev popping Jay say what he's going to do to the kingdom of God when I know what God's got all around him that he can't even see.
You'll be doing the rumble then, says the shotgun.
Tonight, if your enemy could see what God has surrounding you tonight in heavenly plains, he'd know that this is no time to move against God's kingdom. And you might understand where energy is going to descend from.
Yeah.
What impact it's going to have on you.
Yeah.
It'll make some of you visible and some invisible in the hour of necessity. Now listen. It says, therefore, this is my decree, saith Yahweh. You know who you are? You're my son. Thou art my son. Says singular here. Well, it's plural, just a little way over. Because Yahweh is one, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord, and you who are his embodied Christ in the world today, you are the incarnate body of God. Remember that. Remember what the scripture says, that the spiritual center of his kingdom is his body in the world. You are the Christ of God in the world today. We have this treasure in these vessels, and it's Christ in you that's the hope of glory, and it's the light the world's about to see. It's going to be the manifestation of the sons of God. Now God says, now listen. You ask me. Say, look, Father, well, give us the earth back. We'll take it all. You ask me, and I'm going to give you the heathen for thine inheritance. Every one of these pagans are going to be subdued from their evil, and they're going to be your inheritance, and I'm going to give you the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Say, where are these people going to go when we have the heathen for our inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for their possession? They're going to obey the law. You know, there's going to be a mighty heavenly band and orchestra that's going to strike up one great crescendo of music unheard of in all the world, and there's going to be a sound of a trumpet that'll be heard from sea to sea and pole to pole. And suddenly, every pagan on the face of the earth and every heathen on the face of the earth and all the enemies that the kingdom of God has, plus all the people of his kingdom and every son and every daughter, there's going to be this great and tremendous sound that'll move from one end of the earth to the other, and they're just going to quiver and drop to their knees, every last one on one end of the earth to the other. They're going to say, we never heard a sound like that. We never knew there was that much power, that much vibratory force in all the universe. And if you think that the ancient records of the war trumpets of Pharaoh had great sound, could be heard throughout all the land of Egypt, or if you've read concerning the mighty battle shouts of Israel and the sons of Jacob in the book of Jasher, then let me tell you, when this trumpet sounds, they're going to know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Master of all vibration and all sound has arrived. Listen. Is going to hear his sound. You better serve Yahweh, and you better serve him with love, and you better come forth with a voice that rejoice with trembling. You better recognize the Son. This is the time. This is the hour. So I want to say this tonight in closing. You've got the rising spiritual promise. You're on a great hour of measure. The earth is about to vibrate with a new chain of earthquakes. You've got signs in the sky. What manner of men ought ye to be when the world is trembling? And his hand, which not only shakes the earth, now shakes the heavens and the earth, and everything that is shaken in this hour shall be removed. And when their power is broken, and the powers of the heathen, the pagans, have been cast down, and when the peoples of this world have been brought to bow the knee before our Lord, and acknowledge that you are the children of God and that he's loved thee. When this has been brought to its fruition, I'm going to tell you something you can go out of here and be sure of tonight. The flag of these United States and the Union Jack, the flag of Germany, and the flag of Norway and of Sweden and of every other Christian nation is going to be flying around the sign of his cross. Some of you may feel you've got a little secret ticket hidden in the back of the wallet of your heart that's going to get you an escape trip out of here. Now, if we could arrange it for you, we would, because we don't think you'd stay to fight anyhow. But I'm going to tell you, while you're up there, Christ is going to be down here helping us win. And you'll be ashamed of yourself when you come back and haven't done anything. You know, you've got a bedtime story stuck away. A lot of people think that the Bible's told them that they're going to be taken flying out into space instead of staying down here to do the work. God Almighty says, when we take something out, it's the tares we're going to take out. First thing to disappear from here is going to be the tares. You get the tares out of here, and there's no reason to go, because that which you prayed for will be kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And as long as this turns into heaven and Christ down here, I don't want to go anywhere.
That's for sure.
Besides, I'm used to it now. I almost forgot what that was like. But as this becomes like that, there won't be any point in moving. I want you to know tonight, it's not a jest. It is thy kingdom come. I want you to know it is your destiny to cleanse this land as God's holy temple. It's your responsibility to save every Christian nation from the horde of the Antichrist. It's your time for Christians to stand together, to pray together, to command together, and have victory. So we're going to close this message by saying that this is the hour in which you're going to begin to see the manifestation of the sons of God.
Dr. Wesley Swift, the son of a Methodist minister, was called to preach in his teens. He was a dynamic, inspired speaker who taught uncompromised biblical truths ignored by modernist ministers. His anointed preaching brought forth a high spiritual dimension of understanding to the kingdom identity message, giving life and power to the sacred word. Even the Antichrist acknowledged that, quote, Wesley Swift is considered the single most significant figure in the early years of the Christian identity movement in the United States, end quote. Dr. Swift founded the Church of Jesus Christ Christian in the 1940s, a ministry that spread the kingdom identity message nationwide to Yahweh's children, the white spirit race known scripturally as sons of God. By teaching these truths to true Israel, this warrior priest put fear in the hearts of the enemies of Christ. Following Dr. Swift's death in 1970, his widow, Lorraine Swift, faithfully carried on the Church of Jesus Christ Christian until turning his ministry over to Kingdom Identity Ministries in 2002. We are highly honored to be able to continue Dr. Swift's work, preserving and earnestly contending for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Other books and tapes and CDs of Dr. Swift's sermons are available from this ministry, along with much additional material for your learning. For an information packet, including lists of the material we carry, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. Thank you.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message, and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.